For many, the best loved books in all of the Bible are the Psalms. And I like the Psalms because you can readily identify yourself with the psalmist, because the psalmist is very practical, and the problems that he went through and difficulties, well, we can identify with them. And also, we've got the same Saviour who's able to help us through them all. And I suppose the best known and best loved of all the Psalms is Psalm 23, known as the Shepherd's Psalm. And I'm sure there's hardly a church in our province that doesn't sing this psalm perhaps once a month or maybe more frequent. It's a beautiful psalm. It has brought comfort and consolation to many hearts. Consolation and comfort from times of sorrow, trouble or bereavement. It's always nice to be able to turn to Psalm 23. Now, in describing the Lord as a shepherd, David wrote out of his own experience, because we learn from 1 Samuel 16, 10 to 11, that he was a keeper or a shepherd of sheep. Remember that occasion when Israel was looking a king, and Samuel was told to go to the house of Jesse, and there among his sons there would be one. He was anointed king over Israel. The seven of the eight sons were paraded before Samuel, but the Lord kept saying, "This is not he." And then Samuel said, is there not yet another one? And they said, there's a lad, David. He's the youngest. And it was he that was anointed king over Israel. Where was he? He was out minding the sheep. Now, sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd for practically everything. For provision, for guidance, for protection. And as David contemplates how the shepherd provides for his sheep, he also thought of the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the Messiah, the one that was to come, and the one who would look after and protect and guide his people. So I want to look at the psalm tonight, and all we can do is have an overview of the psalm, and I just want to speak on three thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight, which will encourage the saints of God, and I trust will challenge those that are not saved, that they might make the Lord their shepherd. And you'll notice, first of all, in this psalm in verse 1, there's a special relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd in the East had a very close interest with the sheep. He wasn't a hireling. He owned the sheep, and he looked after the sheep. You see, the hireling is only there for a wage. And the Bible tells us, the Lord tells us, when the wolf comes and the hireling sees it, he'll flee from the sheep and leave them to the mercy of the lion or whatever. But the good shepherd looks after his sheep. Now, you'll notice here, first of all, that David is referring to his relationship with the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that word "my" implies it's a personal relationship. See, many people today know about the Lord, and they've read about them, heard about them, and have sat under sermons about the Lord. But David goes that step further, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He personally had his faith and his trust in the Lord, whom he had received as his Lord and Saviour. No doubt David was well informed about the history of Israel when they were brought out of Egypt. And he would remember that 10th plague when God said he was going to destroy the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And he made provision. He made provision for his people. And he said they were to take a lamb, and that lamb was to be killed, the blood caught in a basin, and it was to be applied to the doorposts and lintels of their homes. And when the angel of death would pass over that night, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And no doubt David was thinking upon this. And while others were trusting in good works or opinions, if they may, he was depending on the blood of the Lamb. He was his personal Saviour. There's lovely thought there in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, when the Lord is referring to the lamb that was to be chosen. He says, first of all, it was a lamb. And then he speaks of the lamb. And then he says, your lamb. Your lamb. I wonder tonight, is Christ your lamb? Is he your sacrifice for your sins? There has to be a personal relationship. And you see, there was a lamb for a house. There was a lamb for the nation. And thank God tonight there's a lamb slain for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Personal Saviour, the Lord is my shepherd. No matter about anybody else, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is he yours tonight? And how can the Lord be your personal Saviour tonight? John 1 and 12, as many as received him, that is Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Personal shepherd. I'm glad tonight I have a personal Saviour, one who will guide me and direct me and protect me and provide for me. And one day has promised to take me to be with himself, which is far better. Isn't it wonderful to have such a Saviour in the day in which we live? A day of hardship, a day of economic distress, a day when many men's hearts are failing for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. But we don't have to worry about that. The Lord is in control, as we saw this morning. And thank God if we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then we're safe. A personal relationship. It was a promised relationship, because way early in the opening pages of the Old Testament, just after Adam and Eve had sinned, and of course when they had sinned and they realized they were naked and that they had sinned and broke the fellowship with God, they sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness, to hide their sin. But you know, it wasn't sufficient for God. And many people tried different things to bring them into favor with God tonight. Their good works or their church attendance, and that's good. That's very good. But you see, none of these things will bring us into a personal relationship with Christ. And for God to reconcile Adam and Eve unto himself and to cover their sin, he had an animal slain. Of course, the blood had to be shed. And he made coats of skin for them and clothed them with that. And you know, it speaks of Christ who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And the promise was given in Genesis 3 and verse 15, where God says to the devil who had deceived them, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise thy heel." There was the promise of the Saviour. And you'll notice it was the seed of the woman, speaking of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said in his word in Galatians 4 and 4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law." It was a precious promise in the very teeth, if you like, of their sinning against God. God was gracious and God was merciful. They didn't deserve a covering. And you and I don't deserve the righteousness of Christ, which is the covering we need. But God in his grace and his mercy gives it. Tell me tonight, have you on that garment that only God can supply? The righteousness of Christ that makes you acceptable before God. A personal relationship. It was a promised relationship. And then it was a purchased relationship, because we find in verse 11 of chapter 10 of John, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He gave his life for his sheep. He went to the cross of Calvary. There he offered up himself as our substitute for our sins. And he bore the punishment that was due our sins, bearing shame and scoffing rude. in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Good Shepherd. And Luke 15 tells us there was 99 in the fold, but there was one that was missing, one that was lost. And he left the 99 and he went after the one that was lost until he found it. And then he put it on his shoulders and he brought it back to the fold, rejoicing. Tell me tonight, are you one of the lost tonight? Are you a lost sheep tonight and you're out in the wilderness of this world? No one to help you, no one to turn to in your time of need. Oh, there's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. What was the price? The shedding of his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in the place of us. He took our sins and he took the punishment for those sins. And I asked you tonight, have you ever come across such love? Yea, for a good man some would dare to die. But Jesus Christ gave his life while we were yet enemies, while we were yet rebels against him. And you know, when you just sit down and consider the people that God has saved adulterers, God has saved murderers, God has saved liars. And you see, he refuses none that come to him and repent of their sin and confess that and turn from their sin and turn to Christ. He commendeth his love towards us. Verse 10 of that chapter 5 goes on to say, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Reconciled. It pictures the unbeliever, the unsaved, as an enmity with God because of their sin. That sin, Isaiah tells us in 59 and 2, separates us from God. And there's no other agent in this world that will cleanse that sin away or will cover that sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But when you and I come as a sinner to Christ and ask him to be our personal Savior, that enmity is broken down. We're reconciled unto God. It's not that God's reconciled unto us. We were the ones that were estranged from God, but when we trust in him, then we're reconciled unto God by the blood of his cross. And something else it brings, and one of the first things that being reconciled unto God brings, it's peace with God. Peace with God. It's not a tremendous thing tonight. Peace with God. In my sins, I'm an enmity with God. I'm a rebel. But because of Christ and his suffering, his blood shed in the cross, I'm reconciled unto him and I have peace with God. Peace with God. And then we can go on to know the peace of God that passes all understanding and will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a tremendous thing to have in the day in which we're living? To have that peace of God that passes all understanding, but keeps our hearts and our minds. God has provided for the whole man. Not only gives us peace with God, he gives us peace in our hearts and in our minds. It's a great thing tonight against worry and depression and those things. Stay it upon Jehovah. Hearts are truly blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Rest in the midst of the storm. And then it's a permanent relationship. For John 10 and 28 tells us that Jesus says, I give unto them, that is sheep, believers, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Their souls never will be lost. If you're genuinely trusting in Christ, it's impossible to be lost. For whom the Lord loveth, he loveth them unto the end. In Romans 11 and verse 29, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, when God gives you a gift, And the greatest gift that you can receive from God tonight is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's not something you pay for or earn or merit. It's something you receive. And you know, when God gives the gift, he doesn't come back and say, I want that back again. You've been a naughty boy, you've been a naughty girl today. No, he doesn't do that. You know, it's something, just something like the relationship between a father and a child. The relationship is father and son. And nothing can break that relationship. But the fellowship can be broken. And maybe the child does something wrong or says something they ought not to have said. And they're chastised by the parent and they go into the sulks. And it's all picture and no sign for a while. Now, the fellowship is broken. But the relationship is not. It's not. He's still his son. And that's the way it is with God. We're his children by faith in Christ. And there's nothing can break that. In Hebrews 7:25 it says, wherefore is able also to save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him, that is by Christ, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. To the uttermost. And the word translated there is the word evermore. And when you get salvation, you get it not for time, but for all eternity. And then for by that, we have one who is continually making intercession for the saints. He's pleading our cause before God. Isn't that tremendous tonight? Isn't that wonderful? Great high priest is thinking on Jim Harden tonight, pleading our cause before the Lord. And who am I? Yet God loved us. The book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 to 38, Paul argues the point that there's nothing can separate the child of God from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing. He said neither death nor life. In other words, no terror of death on the one hand, nor the pleasures of life on the other, shall separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels or principalities nor powers. Well, there's plenty of powers abroad today, and they'd love to do us down, wouldn't they? They would like us destroyed. But there's not a power on earth that can separate the child of God from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither things present or things to come. Neither the sense of fear or present troubles can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, his love is just like himself. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the love that saved me 44 years ago, it's just the same tonight as it was then. It's unchanging. It's unchangeable. And God sets his love upon us. He sets it upon us for time and for eternity. Isn't that tremendous tonight? So we have that special relationship. But then we also have a sure refuge. And time is going quickly. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I hold that it not only refers to the physical death, but I think it means that in every time of trouble or sorrow or difficulties, the Lord is always there. He promised Joshua, as he was with Moses, he would be with him. He said, I'll not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. And he said to his disciples, lo, I am with you always. And so the Lord is always with us in every time of trouble. But I believe particularly as we go through the valley of death. And you'll notice it's described here as a shadow. It's the shadow of death. Now, you and I know that a shadow can't do us any harm. I mean, we might see the shadow of a lion. The shadow of a lion can't hurt us. It's just a shadow. The real thing can hurt us, but not the shadow. And the psalmist here is referring to death as just a shadow. The fear and the sting of death has been removed, because at Calvary, Jesus paid the price for that sin. That was the sting of death. That's what makes it so horrible. That's what makes it men and women fear death. It's the sting of death. But for the child of God, that has been removed. That has been removed. It's just a shadow. And you don't fear a shadow. And of course, to there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. In a dull day, you don't get shadows. But in a day such as this, you can see shadows, and they get longer as the day goes on. And thank God there's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. Will not walk alone. He has promised his rod and his staff, they'd comfort me. Lo, I am with you always. In that great chapter of John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The psalmist says also in this verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking. He's not hurrying through. He's not anxious. He's not fearful. It's just as if he was out for a stroll. There's no anxiety. Why? Because the Lord is with him. The late Reverend John Wiley used to say, yes, death is an enemy. It's the last great enemy. But he said, you know, just like life, you get grace to live. And he says, when it comes to the Jordan, he said, you'll get grace to die. Now, the Lord doesn't give you the grace beforehand. He gives you when you need it. And brethren and sisters, we can encourage ourselves tonight. When it comes our time, God will give the grace. He'll give the grace. And he has defeated death and hell and the grave. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then finally, there's a splendid residence. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness, mercy, following us every step of the way. Well, the good shepherd is looking after his sheep. His eye is upon them. And he's guiding and he's guarding and he's keeping and he's providing for them and he's protecting them until that day he takes them to be with himself, to the Father's house. I love that term, isn't it? The Father's house. It's home. And you know, no matter where you go in life, go on holidays, you might go to exotic places, and you might go to Australia or other places. But isn't it nice just to be on the way home, isn't it? There's no place like home. We enjoy these other places and the sights, these shows we see, but there's no place like home. And there's no place like home for the child of God. That's what we're looking forward to. That mansion that God has prepared for them that know and love him. Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. It's a special place. And you know, if it's anything to go by the city that came down, it comes down from heaven, we read of in the Revelation. It says the gates are of pearl, the streets are of pure gold, and the walls are of jasper. My, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? We never will have a residence like that in this scene of time. But there's one laid up for us. It's our inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for me. And there's a special place in heaven for me, a mansion. And Mr. Elliot is not going to have any lot nor part in it. He'll have his own. And I'll have mine and you'll have yours. Imagine in a mansion. And that's great, you know. That's great. But there's something far better than that. It's a special place not just because of what's there, but because of what's not there. And what's not in heaven? Well, there's no sin in heaven. Nothing that defileth shall enter in. Isn't that a tremendous thought tonight? Just try to imagine for a moment living in an atmosphere, in a society where there's no sin, where there's no wickedness, where there's no lying, where there's no stealing, where there's no adultery, where there's no murder, where there's no bad language. You know what it is? It's just bliss. And that's like heaven. And also, the Bible goes on to say in Revelation 21 and 27, "And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, nor anything that worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Nothing else that's not there. There's no more tears. And many mothers have shed copious tears in their life. Maybe a broken marriage. Maybe children going astray. Maybe difficulties in the home. Loss of loved ones. Tears pour out. But you know, there's no more tears in heaven. Jesus said, "I've come to wipe away all tears." Because there'll be no more sorrow. And there'll be nothing to cause those tears. No more death. Undertakers are redundant. No more hospitals. And if you're a nurse, you'll be out of business. Because there's no more sickness. You know, when you think of these things, you just want to be there, isn't that right? Just to be there. But it's ahead of those that can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And young people and older people tonight, if you can't say that, "The Lord is my shepherd," the rest of the psalm is not for you. You can't claim that. But if you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," there's a time in your life when you knew you were a sinner. From God's word, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we have confessed that sin unto God and repented of it, and to repent means to turn away from it, and then to turn unto God and to trust in Him as our Savior, then we're heaven bound. And with the promise of every need supplied. Not just some of the needs. Not most of the needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Tell me, who's the fool tonight? Child of God is called a fool. He's no fool that is a fool for Christ. He's no fool who has trusted in Christ as his Savior, who is one that has promised to save him and to provide a place for him and to meet his every need throughout the pilgrim journey. Every need, not her wants, but her needs. And the Lord will supply that every need. Special relationship. If you got that tonight, if you personally trusted in Christ as your refuge, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into heaven are safe. And a splendid refuge. What are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? You're looking forward to heaven, to glory, and all that entails. But the most important thing and most important person in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are changed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. You're having this week of children's meetings. There'll be a lot of work entailed. Just you give it the best you can. Because see, when you get to heaven, there's a fellow that used to sing in our church in Coleraine, and he used to sing a wee hymn, and it says, "I wish I had given Him more." You give Him your very best. You're not saved tonight. You come, you make Christ your personal Savior, and then you give your life over to Him, and the Lord will bless you and bless yours. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
Let us unite together in prayer.